Well, it's been a good time for pharmaceutical company shares, at least those selling stress-reducing medications. First, there was a government report revealed that the next generation of home buyers will struggle to even get a toehold in the property ladder because of house prices. By the year 2026, house prices, they anticipate, will cost 10 times average earnings. So mortgages will get costlier and take longer to pay off. And the solution is simply live with your parents until you can move in with your children. No, the solution is to spread the mortgage over several generations. Then came the report from an eminent chronobiologist, Professor Russell Foster of Oxford University, who predicts that we are becoming a zombie nation. We are literally sleepwalking our way into economic disaster. Because of extended opening hours and the growing 24/7 entertainment, I was up till 1 o'clock this week collecting a certain child, young person, from the cinema. Shopping and TV culture, it's leading to serious sleep deprivation. The consequences are weight gain, a rise in irritability, hallucinations, and motor car accidents. The answer? Well, for years, the army has been using a drug called modafinil to help. So if you want to get more out of life, and you can't afford sleep, and you don't want to be a zombie, try modafinil. Problem solved. But then there was research published this week by the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development and the law firm Eversheds, entitled Warzone in the Office Politics, showing that conflict is rising in the workplace. Half of all senior executives surveyed confessed they were unable to cope with internal backstabbing, conspiracy, jealousy, and plotting. 25% of executives rated office politics as the toughest challenge they face. Not the competition, not the shareholders, not innovation, but internal politics. That's not surprising, because another survey revealed that a third of all office workers admitted clashing with colleagues on a weekly basis. And that rises to 45% if you're a 16 to 24-year-old. The main cause of tension in the office, apparently, is interruption and talking. Well, the answer is simple. We need to raise the school leaving age to 25 and buy everyone else an iPod. Problem solved. Which brings us to the ever-popular issue of multitasking. I wonder if you can work out how many things this lady is doing at the same time. Multitasking is what most working mothers would say they do all the time, but apparently it's bad for your health as well. There was an article recently published, Multitaskers Lose the Ability to Focus. Writing in the Daily Telegraph, Sarah Warmack warns, experts say that emailing on your BlackBerry, talking on the mobile, or wondering what to cook for dinner, and whether you have run out of dishwasher tablets, is mentally damaging. The bottom line is that you cannot simultaneously be thinking about two things at once. David Mayer, director of the Brain Cognition and Action Laboratory at the University of Michigan, says, people may think otherwise, but it is a myth. Habitual attempts at multitasking may actually be conditioning our brains to an overexcited state, making it difficult to focus on anything. His comments come amid concern with the growth of electronic gadgets and increasing number of children are attempting to multitask, you know, listening to iPod music, watching the TV, and doing their homework simultaneously. Multitasking may be the buzzword, but scientists are realizing what we've known for centuries. If God had intended us to multitask, he would have given us more than one brain. Which is probably why new research from the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists has revealed that stress actually begins, yes, you've guessed it, before birth. Unborn babies as young as 17 weeks are showing signs of stress. They found that levels of cortisol, the stress hormone, rose in mother's blood. It also rises in the amniotic fluid surrounding the baby as well. We're literally bathing unborn children in stress. Cumulative effect of these surveys helps explain why 3 out of 4 of us visiting the GP this week will do so for stress-related reasons. 3 out of 4. So whether you're an unborn child, a teenager, a mother, a city slicker, well and truly retired, stress is the number one issue we face. Which is why we're looking at it tonight. God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, and there's a book I would like to commend to you. It's by Rick Warren, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. And tonight I'm pulling one of those chapters out, How Can I Cope with Stress? And everything I share with you tonight, I confess I'm struggling with and I'm seeking to implement. So humor me. Have you ever stopped to think about the stress that Jesus Christ was under? Think about the grueling schedule. He rarely had any personal privacy. He was constantly interrupted. People repeatedly misunderstood him. They criticized him. They ridiculed him. He felt enormous stress from what would have caused us to cave in, obviously. But when we look at his life, we are amazed to see that he remained at peace under pressure. He was never in a hurry. He was never late. Always at peace. How did he do it? How did he do it? Well, Jesus' life reveals some profound spiritual and psychological principles that we would do well to learn from so that we can cope with the levels of stress we face. We're told to model our lives on Jesus. So let's consider how we can follow his pattern and experience less pressure. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 8, verses 12 to 30. It's 1074 in the Church Bibles. And let's find out how Jesus coped with stress. And the first way in which he coped with stress is called identification. Know who you are. Know who you are. John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. John 10:36. I am God's Son. To handle stress, you need to be secure in yourself. You need to know who you are. Not who you want to be, not who other people want you to be, not trying to be the person you are not, but being yourself. Knowing who you are, knowing who God has made you to be. Because if you don't know who you are, other people will pressure you into being the person they want you to be. Whether it's your boss, or your spouse, or your children, or your parents. A lot of stress that we face is by wearing masks. It's being the kind of person we think other people want us to be. You know, you want me to be a certain pastor who's able to concentrate and focus on... what am I supposed to be talking about? No, you know what I mean. To focus on the job in hand. Not to fall to pieces in the middle of a wedding. Or make a mistake in a funeral. To be on time, and so on. To be available. Not to be distracted by technology or whatever. But a lot of stress that we face is because we wear masks. We pretend to be the person we're not, in order, because we think, well, maybe that's what the other person needs. But if we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we are a child of God. One of the greatest promises in Scripture, John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So who are you? If you trust in Jesus, you are a child of God. Take it slow as you say that. That should be the most important thing about you. Not your degrees, not your family name, not your heritage, not your legacies, not your postcode, not the car you drive. Child of God. That's the most important thing about you. So who am I? I'm a child of God. I was put on this earth for a purpose. I'm not here by accident. Put on this earth for a purpose. I am deeply loved and accepted by God because of Jesus. He has a plan for my life just as he had a plan for Jesus' life. And because he was willing to die in my place on the cross, I am significant in God's eyes. Therefore, do not let anyone treat you less than a child of God. Don't let anyone treat you less. Identification. Know who you are. Jesus did. Do we? Secondly, organization. Know where you're going. Know where you're going. The Pharisees challenged Jesus. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. Jesus knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. He knew what he wanted to accomplish. He was on a mission, and nothing was going to deflect him from it. In Luke's Gospel, we read Luke 9:51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He set his face to Jerusalem. Indeed, he was walking ahead of the disciples and with such a determination, they were afraid. They were afraid. Every day, you either live by priorities of your own making, or you will live under other people's priorities. You will live by priorities or by pressures. You'll either be determined by the important or the urgent or the trivial. When you come to the end of your day and you think, have I really accomplished anything? I used a lot of energy. I did a lot of things. But did I accomplish anything of eternal significance? You will greatly reduce your stress levels if you spend a few minutes each day praying through your schedule for the day. Best time for me to do it is the night before, not first thing in the morning. I'll tell you why. Because if I do it first thing in the morning, I've been worrying about it all night. But if I lay my schedule before the Lord before I go to sleep peacefully. Because I've offered up the day that's about to begin. Lord, is this really what you want me to invest my day in? Are these my priorities, my God-given priorities? To care for my family, to provide for them, to serve in my workplace, to be a witness for Jesus. Those are the top-level, high-level responsibilities. Know where you are going. Know where you've come from. And where God is calling you to be. So how do I cope with stress? Know where you are, who you are, and know where you're going. Thirdly, dedication. Know who you are trying to please. Know who you are trying to please. Look at verse 16 to 18, verse 29. Jesus says, but if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. You do not know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. The one who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do what pleases him. I always do what pleases him. The third principle of stress management is dedication. Jesus knew who he was trying to please. When you don't know whom you're trying to please, we cave into three things. We get very sensitive about criticism because we're concerned about what other people think about us. I've gone beyond that. People criticize me so often, it just washes off, I'm afraid. Okay? Especially when it's impersonal and it's criticism of me sent to other people. A certain person did it for the third time in the last 3 months. They wrote to all the staff, telling them to read this article about your vicar. Thankfully, one of the staff said that he's blocked that individual's email address, so he will not receive any more emails from that person. I think it's a very wise thing to do. Criticism. If you do not know who you're trying to please, then you'll be concerned about what others think about you, criticism. Another form of insecurity is competition, because you'd be worrying that someone else is getting ahead of you. You'll be worrying that someone else is getting ahead of you. The other week, I was trying to book a hotel place. We were going somewhere, I can't remember what it was. And this little light flashed up on the screen that said there was one room left. You think, ah, book it. We got to the hotel, they had hundreds of rooms empty. Competition. Does it really matter if we win or lose when you know who you're trying to please instead of trying to impress? And then conflict, because you'll be threatened when anyone disagrees with you. Competition, criticism, conflict. It's precisely what all the surveys uncover. In the workplace, in the home. You cannot please everyone all the time. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John 14:18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit, to be with us, to reassure us that we are children of God, we've been placed here with a purpose, and that the only person that we should seek to please, ultimately, is our Heavenly Father. If I focus on pleasing God, it will simplify my life radically. I will always be thinking about the right thing, regardless of what other people think about me. How can I cope with stress? Identification, know who you are. Secondly, organization, know where you're going. Thirdly, dedication, know who you are trying to please. Fourthly, meditation, develop your personal walk with God. Notice what Jesus says in verses 26-28. I have much more to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They do not understand that he was telling them about his Father. I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Jesus' strength and his direction came from his daily communion with the Father. He spoke to the world only what his Father told him to say. The Father spoke to him and taught him, gave him the words to say. We know, for example, that Jesus got up very early in the morning, often, and he went to a solitary place to pray, Mark 1:35. And this is the fourth principle of stress management. We learn from Jesus. It is the habit of personal prayer. There's a balance and a rhythm in his life. There were times of rest and solitude. So Jesus needed to take time out to commune with the Father on a daily basis. Then how can we cope with the stress we face if we don't do the same? And notice that Jesus says that he only spoke what his Father told him to say. What is God teaching us to say and do? Who are we trying to please? Prayer and scripture reading is the gigantic stress reliever. A quiet time alone with God is like a decompression chamber. We talk to God in prayer. We listen to him as he speaks to us through his word. He teaches us and trains us how to live. To review our schedules, evaluate our priorities, and wait for instructions. You know, most of us are speeding through life not listening to God, and that's why we cause ourselves so much stress. How do we cope with stress? Well, know who you are, where you're going, who you're trying to please, and how is your walk with God. Fifthly, concentration. Concentration. Focus on one priority at a time. Notice verses 28 and 29 again. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. I always do what pleases him. Principle 5 of stress management is the principle of concentration. Everyone had a plan B for Jesus. Everyone had a plan B for Jesus. But he kept right on doing what he knew God had told him to do. Teaching in the temple courts, proclaiming the arrival of the kingdom of God, healing the sick, raising the dead. Preparing for the day when he would be literally lifted up on the cross. That was his ultimate priority. That would be his hour. And nothing would deflect him from that priority. Nothing. You know, when I've got 30 things on my list to do, my to-do list, you know what I do? I clear my desk. I rank them in priority. I make a strong coffee and I hit the first and the highest priority. And then I tick it off with a bright red tick. And then I go for the second priority and then the third. And then if I end up with the 10 things at the bottom I have not done today, they clearly were not priorities. And I can park them till tomorrow. They'll either move up the food chain or they will just drop off at the bottom. Jesus did not let interruptions or other people's agendas deflect him from concentrating on his mission. Question is, what is our mission? What is your mission in life? To know Jesus and make Jesus known. You know, we have five purposes in life, and if you haven't read Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life, then I encourage you to read it this summer, because he shows that we were created, we were purposed to worship, we were planned for God's pleasure. We were created for fellowship. We were formed for God's family. For discipleship, we were created to become like Christ. For ministry, we were shaped for God's service. And for mission, to tell others about Christ. Everything we do as a church revolves around these five priorities. Worship is central to all we do. Fellowship is vital. Discipleship through our small groups, through CBSI, through our Thursday courses. Ministry, we encourage everyone to serve at least an hour a week in the church. And mission, looking for opportunities to tell others about Jesus and getting involved in some of our mission teams. How can I cope with stress? Know who you are. Know where you're going. Know who you're trying to please. Evaluate your walk with God and choose your priorities. And lastly, transformation. Give your stress to Christ. It says in our passage, even as he spoke, many put their trust in him. You know what that means? Many put their weight on him. They put their weight on him. They rested on him. They trusted in him. The sixth principle of stress management combines all the other five, and it is transformation. As we take seriously who we are, where we are going, who we're trying to please, spending time alone with the Lord, focusing on his priorities, that transformation work begins to occur. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and stressed, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He didn't say, come to me and I will make you more guilty, give you more burdens, more stress and more worries. Not what he said. We will never cope with the stress we have. We will never enjoy complete peace of mind unless we give our stress to Jesus. Today may be the first time we've ever done that. But do it. The transformation power of Jesus is a continuous process of making us more and more like Jesus. Jesus is saying in this passage, I am the stress reliever. When you get in harmony with me, I will give you inner strength, the strength to cope with life. You know, the ultimate source of stress comes from trying to live our lives apart from the one who made us. Not shaping our lives around the Maker's instructions. The one who can give us purpose in life. Isaiah 30 verse 15 says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Six ways we can learn from Jesus how to cope with stress. Identification, know who you are. Organization, know where you are going. Dedication, know who you are trying to please. Meditation, develop your personal walk with God. Concentration, focus on one priority at a time. And transformation, give your stress to Christ. Give your life, with all its strains and stresses, its worries and its burdens, to Him today. And He will care for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please take away the stresses I feel this evening. Please replace the burdens I carry with the peace you promise. Help me to follow your principles of stress management as I learn to model my life on the Lord Jesus. And help me to cope better this week than I did last week. And they all said, Amen.